You know, when I first read about garages of the America, I said, well, I know this. I know this model. This is just like some of the people we've talked to that go out and get, you know, big barns and that sort of thing. And it's a place for you to keep your RV or your oversized boat because you can't park it in front of your house. The zoning laws won't let you. But really, garages of America is something entirely different. I think what Jack Griffin is doing is building man caves. Jack Griffin is a car nut and also a real estate guy, and he teamed up with a real estate investor, Fred Gans, about a decade ago, and they started Garages of America, and he joined us right now. Jack Griffin, it's good to have you with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
So we're on a video call, a Zoom call, and I can see you sitting in your garage right now, but it doesn't look like my garage at all.
No, it's quite different, and it's the most fun thing I've ever done. I've been involved in a lot of different real estate ventures, but I've really been a car hobbyist, a car fanatic all my life.
Well, ostensibly, this is for people who have sort of high-end cars, and they want to tinker with them or want to keep them away from the house and that sort of thing. I mean, you know, cars that cost six figures, I guess. But go ahead.
You know, that's a big part of it. But actually, there are quite a few people that don't have terribly expensive cars, but they love them anyway. And, you know, I have quite a few cars myself, and I have a car that I've owned 49 years, and it's a Porsche I bought 49 years ago, cost me $6,000. And it's just part of my family. So I cannot get rid of it. I'd feel guilty.
That was like buying NVIDIA stock probably on the offering. I would guess that's probably worth a good bit. You want to keep it safe. Well, you've got these sort of high-end luxury garages now, what, spread all over Texas. Is it 14 different locations?
Well, we have 11 projects in the Dallas area, spread out in really six locations, different phases, and we're in Houston and Austin as well. We have two projects in Houston, another one on the planning stage, a drawing board, and then we have one in Austin as well. So we have a total of 11 projects in place and four more in the planning or construction stage.
Yeah, I mean, I can see this concept has wheels, so to speak, that it would be portable to other areas, but you guys pioneered it. The other thing you pioneered, and I would say the analogy I thought was, you know, these people have big garages and you park your RV in it. I mean, you're selling ownership. I mean, if I get a garage from you, I get a deed. I really own that space, right?
You absolutely do, which gives you the freedom to modify it, to customize it, to suit your taste. And we have some of the garages that people don't do a lot, but, you know, my garage is, gosh, I've got a bathroom, a bar, a wet bar, I've got a big screen TV. It's a social venue. I have social events here all the time myself. And I'm in my garage 7 days a week. It's an extension of my home, but it's my hobby as well.
Well, so then you need to put these in locations. I mean, I don't want to drive an hour a day back and forth, you know, to my garage where I can have a wet bar, I have a party. You've got to be close into where people live and work, don't you?
Yes, that's exactly right.
But that's expensive. That's more expensive real estate.
Well, it can be, yes, but that's kind of our keynote, is the convenience. Most of our garage owners are within, I'd say, 10 to 15 minutes from where they live, and if they get an idea at 8 o'clock at night, you know, hey, I want to go shine on my car some, they can, you know, jump up and be in their garage, you know, in 10 minutes, which is really, really nice.
So is this a car deal or is this a real estate deal? From your standpoint.
Well, that's a great question, David. You know, it's a niche real estate product which serves a hobby. But when you really think about it, most hobbies have real estate associated with that hobby: tennis clubs, golf clubs, boat marinas, airports for hobbyists. You know, people flying. So this is something that is, I think, very interesting in that for years, the car hobby has had not did not have real estate associated with the hobby.
Right.
What this does is creates real estate for the car collecting hobby. And 30 or 40 years ago, people didn't have multiple cars usually. They'd have one car, and a two car or three car garage would be sufficient. But now, in the past 20 years or so, it's a legitimate hobby, and people are fanatical about collecting cars.
Yeah, that's a given. But it's the business model that really intrigues me. So you get evergreen income. I mean, you're paid to be for upkeep and maintenance of the buildings. Is that it? 'Cause
No.
I own the garage.
Well, that's right. So it's like in a sense, it's sort of like home building in that we sell the garages and then we move on to another project.
Oh,
And
okay. So you have no, sorry, go ahead.
an HOA takes over because it's a condominium ownership. And so now we do have it's interesting because we've evolved our product into both garages and retail. Auto-related businesses that sometimes rent spaces as well as own them. So we have in our Carrollton location, for example, we have a car repair facility. We have a automobile electronics place. So it's kind of we integrate services as well as having the garages. And in Carrollton, we actually are going to have a social club. That is that where hobbyists can store cars, they can pay to store a car and be part of a social club. So that will be another leg of our project.
So this has got to be a cyclical business, but you've been through a cycle. You started this pre-COVID, and
Yes,
that
we
was a
did.
significant economic cycle. How did you make it through that?
Well, I tell you what's really amazing. We were sort of concerned about the COVID period, but what happened, our sales actually exploded during the COVID situation because a lot of people have their office, which would otherwise be at home. They have their office in their garage. And sometimes in marriages, togetherness, too much togetherness isn't necessarily great, So our garage sales picked, I mean, it was just phenomenal. They just flew off the shelf because people wanted to, kind of get away from home, but they didn't want to go to an office. Well, they went to their garages.
In my research, I found out that you were the you pioneered this whole luxury garage concept. But that's hard to believe. I mean, there are 49 other states in the United States. This would seem to be a model that would work very, very well other places.
Well, that is true. There are a number of these projects around the country. We're the only ones that are scaling. What happens in some locations, there may be a guy that's at the end of his career and he wants to build a little place for he and his friends to hang out. So that's what he does. But in our case, especially with Fred, my co-founder, Fred was in the self-storage business for many, many years. And so he saw this as an extension of his self-storage world. And so, we did our first project. We weren't sure whether there'd be a second project. And I mean, we sold out before construction was even finished. And so we both kind of sat back and said, wow, I think we're onto something.
Well, the equity ownership really is an intriguing twist that I never would have thought of, but then again, that's why I'm not you. So what's your background? Are you a car guy or a real estate guy?
Well, I'm both. Actually, my dad was an auto mechanic, and we grew up in a very blue-collar kind of situation. However, when I was 26 years old, I went to work for Trammell Crow. Yes.
The
And
original
so,
Trammell Crow, yep.
yes. So I, at this is in 1971, and 2 years later, I was made a partner in charge of creating and running the suburban office building business for Trammell.
Wow.
So I was a partner with Trammell Crow for 12 years. And at 38 years old, I kind of had an idea that I kind of was burnt out, whatever. And so I wanted to do some other things in life. And I went to school to be a race car driver. So So that's when the car thing really kind of took over. And I drove race cars for several years. I drove at Le Mans, Daytona, all that kind of stuff with no experience whatsoever. And so then I started collecting cars and participating in car shows, and I created a car show at the Cooper Aerobic Center, and I've just been consumed with the car hobby, for a lot of years. So Fred, I'm the chief gearhead in our business, and Fred drives a pickup truck, and he kind of sits back and says, "Jack, do your thing." And so it's fun for me, and we're a good fit because Fred is the does the development, and I'm kind of the concept guy.
Well, and you have good concepts too, and you have good instincts, and I'm going to follow you around. I can't wait to see what you do next. What a fascinating life. Jack Griffin is the co-founder of Garages of America. It's good to spend some time with you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We'd love to have you visit our project sometime, David.
I'd like to do it, especially the next time my wife kicks me out of the house. I'll be there.
Yeah, perfect. That's great.
For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.